We're glad that you're making plans for those of you who have done so to be with your mother and to experience some good times together. Amen. Well, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. I want to speak to you today a message that I've simply titled, A Mom Who Made a Difference. A Mom Who Made a Difference. You know, the scripture is filled with narratives and stories and accounts where there are women in the Bible that God used mightily. And, you know, some get kind of front row recognition where there's some incredible thing that they did, or maybe some incredible thing that was done for them. I think of the woman, like the woman with the issue of blood. You know, she's kind of the title of that story of healing where she makes her way through and she says, oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. But then there's those women that, you know, maybe they did something, but maybe they didn't do something significant that was a standout, but they did something that over the long haul, it just made a difference. How many of you know if you're going to eat an elephant, you're just going to do it a bite at a time? Come on. You just are persistent, and that persistency pays off. Sometimes we feel as Christians that, you know, God, I don't even know if it's worth what I'm doing. I don't even know if, you know, the decisions that I've made, I serve you, I honor you, I put you first. Sometimes I wonder if it's worth it. We've all felt that way before. Yes, yes, yes. But I want to remind you this morning of a narrative where we see that longevity has made a difference in the life of this young boy who was born. And it comes from 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 5 to 7. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 5 to 7. Where Paul writes this letter, and he writes to Timothy, and he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. And he says, it first lived in your grandma Lois, and it showed up in your mother Eunice. And he said, I'm persuaded that it's alive in you also. Amen. Come on, listen. How many of you are sitting here today, and you know that you're just a chip off the block? Come on. How many of you know that if you're here and you've got some talent, some abilities, maybe you say, well, you know, my mom or my dad taught me, or my dad was a good singer, or my mom could do this, you know, and she taught you. They were good stewards of their talents, and they passed that heritage down to you. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. Somebody say it's in you. Through the laying on of my hands, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I'm thankful for moms today. I know stories, I know wonderful stories about moms. I know some sad stories about moms. I know some stories about moms that will make you cry, but I'm just thankful for moms. They incredibly influence our lives. When you think about it, you know, they teach you nowadays that, you know, mamas should talk to their babies, you know, while they're carrying those babies. They want to know your voice. And they even bring the dad into it. They say, you know, dad, you need to talk to that baby. So mom and dad are laying there. Maybe she's in the beginnings of the third trimester and she's, you know, she's kind of out there now, and so dad is, he's rubbing, he's caressing, and he's talking to the baby. They teach you those things. And, you know, here's an example in Scripture where I believe that here's exactly what a mama did. A mama can make you or break you. Come on. A mama can give you a good start, or some of you can look back in your family and maybe your story, and maybe it's not a good story. You know, perhaps like my mom's mother died when she was 5 years old, and her dad had a major problem with alcohol, and he was making his own whiskey and selling it, and he was up to no good, and he didn't really take care of the family, so he just doesn't even worry about these five little kids. He just leaves them with another relative to raise them. My mama, she never even saw her dad again until he was 74. He took off after her mama died, and from 5 years old, when she was 5 years old, she never saw her dad again until he turned 74 years old. And what happened to him was he was listening to a gospel program going down the highways of Mississippi. And he came under conviction, and he began to swerve in his automobile. Tears were running down his face, and he began to swerve, and the highway patrolman pulled him over on the side of the road and said, "Sir, hop out of the car. Obviously, you've been drinking." He said, "Sir, I have not been drinking." He said, "I haven't been drinking." And the radio was blaring. He said, "I've been listening to this program." He said, "I know this may sound crazy to you, but," he said, "I've just given my life to Jesus." And that man's life was transformed. Now he's 74 years old. He walked away from family. He never, ever made one attempt to get back in touch with family all of those years. All his children are grown and married and have kids and grandkids. They're spread all over the place. He don't know where they are. And to make a long story short, my mom and her family had a powerful reunion in Mississippi. And all the kids came together. And, you know, as fate would have it, he was living within 2 hours of one of his daughters for 10 years and didn't even know it. So you see, there are some stories that are good stories. There are some that, and they all lived happily ever after. You know, I never met my grandfather until he was 74. I met him for the first time. I never was in his presence but about 3 times in his whole life before he passed away. Shortly after that, he became ill and died. But he was able to get things right with his family. Mamas can make you or they can break you. Mamas can give you a good start or they can start you off in a manner that is really challenging. And when it comes to getting a proper start in your life, it helps you to be able to fulfill your purpose when you're nurtured, when you're cared for. Think about it. You have an amazing connect with them for 9 months. They birth you. They nurse you, they feed you, they change you, they bathe you, they dress you. They literally do everything for you in the early stages of your life. They impact your life like no one else does. And they prepare you for life and for living. That's exactly why Paul has mentioned what he's mentioned in this story about these two ladies named Lois and Eunice. You know, he seems to bring them to the forefront of the story and call their names. Have you ever noticed when you're reading this passage, there's no mention of the daddy? Think about it. Daddy's not mentioned. You don't read how dad was such a godly man. No, you read mama was a godly woman. Because he goes on to tell us later on in chapter 3 how that from infancy you have known the scriptures. In other words, Lois and Eunice were always, they won't just read in Little Red Riding Hood. They won't just talk in Mickey Mouse. They're teaching this little Timothy about the things of God. That's what they're doing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. They're teaching little Timothy as an infant about the things of God. No mention of Papa. No mention of Daddy. And Paul here, he's in jail. He's incarcerated. He's in prison while he's writing this letter. He's not going to get out of jail this time. He knows he's laying there awaiting his trial. He's laying there knowing that his fate will probably be, it won't be long before his head will literally be on the chopping block because Nero is taking people's heads off for preaching Jesus. He knows that's where he's headed. But he has a little bit of hope because he knows what a tremendous investment he has made by traveling to Lystra and selecting this young man named Timothy. Timothy was a ministry candidate, if you will. Timothy was just waiting to be used. He's grown up now. No longer is he rocked in the arms of a mom or a grandmom who's talking to him about the things of God. He's already passed the Sunday school age, and he's already done the things that little kids do. And he's growing up now, and he's already been identified as a future leader in the work of the kingdom. See? Listen, some of these kids that we're teaching in children's church now will be pastors one day. They'll be missionaries. They'll be evangelists. They'll be people who teach in school, Christian schools, or even Bible campuses. You never know what they'll be doing. Timothy's family lived in this little place called Lystra. And Paul had gone on a missionary journey there, his first one. And he found this family, Lois and Eunice and her little boy, Timothy. And they converted to Christianity under Paul's ministry. They were Jews. Now you said, now where's Papa in all this? If you take a real close look at this, you'll be able to figure out something here. Eunice is a Greek name. It comes, her name is translated from the word Nike, like our shoes, Nikes, which means happy victory. Eunice is a form of the word Nike. And so that is a Greek term. And so more than likely, the men of these households were Greek men. And it's even likely that these Greek men served not the God that we serve, but served Greek gods. But here's a God. How many of you know? Listen, there are homes that are represented, yes, even in this church, where mama is serving the Lord, but daddy's nowhere near. Come on. In fact, if you look at every church has more women in it than it has men in it. And literally, on the face of the earth, there are more women on the earth than there are men. And so here we are in church life where we face more women than we do men. And so it oftentimes, by default, it falls upon the woman to train up her child the way that he should go and recognize that when he's old, he won't depart from it. It's no doubt that their foundation of the Jewish faith had a tremendous play in what would happen in the lives of this little family, grandma and mom and little Timothy. It's no doubt that their Jewish heritage had a big impact on that, because they had learned about the scriptures about Messiah. And when Paul comes preaching about his divine encounter on the road to Damascus, the power of God fell upon that place and they believed and they accepted Messiah and they followed the teachings of Paul from that day forward. Paul comes back around for his second missionary journey. Timothy's getting a little age on him now. And, you know, we don't even know the meetings that these guys had together. We don't have the indicators of what the prayer meetings were like and the many times where Paul was holding hands in a circle and he prophesied over Timothy, thus saith the Lord. We don't know all those meetings that took place, but we know that they did because of what the scripture says. When Paul writes this letter, he says, I'm doing this with tears. If you've read it, man, some of the most worn out pages in my Bible are the pastoral epistles, because I love to hang out in 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus because I'm a pastor myself. He says, I write you this letter and I write it in tears. He writes from prison, laying there, as I said earlier, waiting the final word. Will he be sentenced and will he be executed for the gospel's sake? And probably yes, and absolutely yes. But look at verse 5. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. It first lived in your grandmother and in your mother, and I'm persuaded it now lives in you also. Paul's reflecting and Paul is thanking God for the heritage of those women and all that they did to impact the life of Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, look at what it says there. He says, How that from a child you have known the holy scriptures. Listen, children's church is worth it. Listen, working with kids and teaching them the things of God at an early age makes a difference. These little guys are so bright now. I mean, listen, my little two-year-old grandchild, if she gets a hold of your iPhone, don't you think she's going to mess things up? She can fix stuff that you messed up. She can take that little finger and go all over these apps and discover what she wants to find. She knows where Mickey Mouse is. See, they're smart. Don't you think for one instant that you're wasting your time by trying to impact the life of a child, because they're smarter than you think they are. How that from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise until salvation in Christ Jesus. Lois taught Eunice, Eunice taught Timothy. That's how it worked. She would rock him. She would recite the Old Testament to him. There's such an amazing contribution that is made in the lives of even our babies if we will truly believe that and put it into practice. No mention of the man, as we said earlier, but undoubtedly he was a Greek man. And so he didn't have the influence for the things of God, for Yahweh, for the coming Messiah. He didn't have any influence in that family for those things, but Mama did. And Paul reminds, in fact, if you look at Acts chapter 16, I believe it is, verse number 1, the scripture will boldly say that Timothy's father was a Greek man.
And here's one thing that goes off, it resonates with Paul. He says, it's now alive in you, Timothy. In other words, all this scripture, all of this training, all this nurturing, all this teaching, Paul is in a position, listen, hear me, church. Paul's in a position where he has given his life for the gospel. He's been left for dead. He's spent nights out in the deep. He has given his sweat, blood, and tears for the sake of the gospel. And now he's closer to death than he's ever been. He's worried about the churches that he started. And so he wants to make sure that he has identified capable leaders to take these churches on. And he's thinking about Timothy. That's why we have this letter. He says, man, I'm confident. It's alive in you. He was an encourager, Paul was. He says, I'm confident, Timothy, you're going to take this ministry even further than we did when I was there the last couple of times. You're going to have greater meetings. People are going to be healed. More people are going to be saved. You're going to take the gospel. You're going to take the gospel and you're going to proclaim it, Timothy, and you're going to build a powerful church there in Lystra. He was confident. He was confident. He says, it's alive in you. And for that reason, he says, verse number 6. He says, for this reason, I remind you, fan this into flame. He's wanting to make sure that Timothy don't miss out on the destiny that God has assigned to his hands. May I ask you a question this morning? How many of you have some things in your life that you should have fanned, but it's about to go out? How many of you have some opportunities, maybe some special giftings, some anointings that you've seen yourself, you've moved in them, you've experienced them, but there's some things that you put back on the back burner because you've been so busy. Come on. How many of you sitting here this morning have some things that you wish you had fanned into flame? Can I tell you something this morning? It's not too late. Many times I've seen the coals of a fire when we were cooking or something or camping out or something like that. Many times I've seen the coals and I think, man, you know, they're gone. But how many of you know that if you get just right and you lean over and you go, you'll see those things turn from death to life and they'll be orange now. Then all of a sudden, a flicker will come and another flame will come and you'll get some more wood and you'll put it on. Before you know it, you'll have a fire once again. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Listen, fan into flame, Timothy, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That's why I said earlier, there were times, yes, the mamas did what they were supposed to do, but there were times when Paul remembers that he was in meetings where Timothy was there and he prophesied over him, thus saith the Lord, and he said some things in the spirit realm that he didn't want Timothy to forget. He said, you need to fan these things into flame, young man. Lystra is waiting on you. Ephesus is waiting on you. Asia Minor is waiting on young men like you to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm getting ready to die. It wouldn't be long before Paul would say those words. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knows he's near death. So he tells him, fan it into flame. Some of you may be here this morning and say, man, I didn't have a godly mom. I didn't have a godly dad. Some of you may be saying, you know, I didn't get into any of those meetings where somebody prophesied over me or somebody said, man, God's going to use you. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, I've missed a lot. Can I tell you something? The opportunity is always available for you. God's looking for people. You can sign up any day. He's looking for people to get busy for the kingdom. That's why verse 7 is important. For the Spirit God gave us. And that's all of us. Maybe you didn't have the Lois and the Eunice. Maybe you didn't have the Paul who was investing in your life. But the Spirit of God has given us all what? Has given us power. What is he talking about when he says he's given us power? That word in the original language is dunamis. It means he's given you and I the spiritual dynamics, the wherewithal to do ministry. You say, well, you know, I just get scared when I do ministry. Good. I'm glad you do. That makes you a candidate for God's use.
I get scared. I get concerned. Then God can use you. He's given you power. He's given you the dunamis. He's given you the dynamics of the Spirit. And He's also given you love. He's given you love. That word there, guess what? It's agape. He's given you as a believer, you as a child of God, He's given you unconditional love. That means you're able to love without conditions. For those of you that were here Wednesday night in Bible study, we talked about this. I firmly believe that I, as a 56-year-old man, I know I don't look over 40, but I'm 56. As a 56-year-old man today, I firmly believe that I'm walking out my life with a mantle that was placed on me by my grandfather. Now, there wasn't a ceremony. There wasn't a time when he said, young man, come here. I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. My grandfather was not that kind of man. He was a quiet servant of the Lord. I've spent the night with my grandma and grandpa so many times. They just live right down the street, 75 yards away. But it was nothing like staying at grandma's house. We knew where she hid the Little Debbie cookies. We knew where the Morton frozen pies were in the freezer. We knew where all those things were. Nothing like spending the night there. And I saw my grandpa when I was just a kid. I saw him every night of his life. He would sit there at his little desk before he went to bed. He would pull the drawer out. He would pick up a huge magnifying glass, and he would lean over. And he would take that magnifying glass, and that's the only way he could do it. He would take that magnifying glass, and he would run that magnifying glass over that big King James version of the Bible. And he would read that Bible, and then he would sit there, and he would bow his head, and he would pray. I watched him. I watched how he treated people. He ran a little country store. We were the hot spot in town. We were the Walmart of the day, man. We had hoop cheese. We had 2 4-penny cookies. They were big around as flying saucers. You could get 2 of them for a penny. I would get out of school. You could take a friend to Phillips grocery store and buy 2 Pepsis and 4 cookies and have change left. Amen. Out of a quarter. I told you, I'm 56. Joy, you're laughing. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth, girl. Gas was 25 9/10 cents a gallon. We thought it was crazy when it went to 30 cents. I bought Pepsis for 10 cents. And I remember when gas was short, they cut you off from buying gas. It was rationed, and cars lined up. My grandfather had the kind of store that you came and you got your groceries on Saturday night, and you never went behind the counter. He just set the pasteboard box up there. That's cardboard for some of y'all who weren't born then. He set the pasteboard box up there. I know how old I am. He set the pasteboard box up there, and you would say, I want soap. Now, it wasn't 40 million flavors with strawberries and bubbles and raspberries and honey lemon. It wasn't all that stuff, ladies. It was either Dove or Dial. Take your pick. Orange or white. Okay. Soap, and Grandpa would reach back there and grab the soap and put it in the box. Dishwashing detergent, there won't but one kind, one size, a bottle of Joy. One bottle of Joy. See? And you told him what you wanted, and you filled those pasteboard boxes up and got your groceries, and then you paid last week's bill and charged this week's bill. See? And my grandfather had a bunch of clients. He had a good little business. And when those cars lined up and they were short of gas, I remember as a kid, you see, I hung around that store. I hung around that store, and I remember working in my grandfather's store. And I remember when he reached in his pocket, he wore them Pure Oil uniforms with blue pants and blue shirts and had the Pure Oil symbol over his name and Phillips Grocery on the other side. They furnished him some uniforms. And I remember when people lined up and he was careful who got gas and who didn't get gas. He was loyal to his customers. Now, he would look in that line and there'd be people lined up to get gas that never spent a dime with him anytime. And I remember as a little kid, I remember people fussing at my grandfather saying, how come you let him get gas? He's black. You're letting black people get gas and I can't even get none. My grandfather said, I'm letting people get gas who do business with me. He had an old green sign hanging in the back of his store with gold letters on it. I can see it in my mind's eye right now. The green sign hanging in the center of his store behind the meat counter said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he lived that way. He ran his business that way. And I can't help but believe, Richard, that the mantle that was on my grandfather that I watched him, he modeled for me how you treat people. That mantle came off of my grandfather and sat peacefully on my shoulders as my grandfather taught me how to treat people right, regardless of the color of their skin. You have to fan these things into flame. Those things that God deposits in you by the laying on of someone's hands, by the mantle that someone placed upon you, you need to fan these things into flame, recognizing that God has given you the power and the love and the soundness of mind, the disciplines to fulfill your purpose and your destiny in this thing we call life. Listen, you've got to get excited about what God's doing in the kingdom. It's more than just coming to a worship service at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and feeling some goosebumps on your shoulders. You've got to get the gospel aflame on your tongue and start telling people about Jesus. That's what you've got to do. You can't just enjoy services and songs and altar times and just go home and say that was good. You've got to start speaking up for Christ's sake. Fan these things into flame. Maybe you had a Lois. Maybe you had a Eunice. Maybe you had a Paul. Maybe you didn't, but you have the Spirit of God that has given you power and love and self-discipline. As a matter of fact, Ephesians says it quite well in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with, look at this, every spiritual blessing in Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that if you're in Christ, then you've got all the goods you need to be effective witness for the gospel's sake. You know, if you're where you are today because of a grandma, today's a good day to thank God for her. If you're where you are today because of a mom, then it's a good day to honor her and give thanks to her. But maybe you didn't have that godly grandma or that godly mom. Maybe you're where you are today simply because of what the Spirit of God has sovereignly done in your life. It's still a good day to say, Happy Mother's Day. Maybe there's something between you and your mom that you need to get straight. Today's a good day to do it. Today's a good day to do it. But regardless of where you find yourself on this little continuum that I've placed before you today, regardless, you've got to get busy doing the work of the kingdom. I'm just telling you about one mom whose life made a difference. Now you've got one shot at it yourself. Will your life make a difference? Will it? Will you be the person that could be written about like a Lois or a Eunice or even a Paul? Will they remember you for what you did for the kingdom, for those things that you deposited in someone's life? You've really only got a one chance at it. Let's not waste time. Let's get busy for the things of God. And if you got mama business to do, don't wait any longer. Don't wait any longer. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I disappointed you. I didn't mean to. I wish I'd done it differently. Maybe your mom, maybe you need to make the call. Maybe you need to say to the kid, listen, we did the best we could. I'm sorry, but I love you. My challenge to you today is, if there's business you need to do with mama, do it. Do it. Don't put it off, because you know what? The scripture is right. Life is short. Life is like a vapor. It appears for a moment and then it vanishes away. On the way to church this morning, Pastor Joy and I were talking about some things of finality in our own lives. And she made the statement to me. She said, honey, you need to do this. You need to go ahead and take care of it now so it won't be something we'll be staring at later. We were talking about some of our business dealings, some of our final affairs. No, I'm not writing you in my will. We were talking about some things that we just need to make sure they're right, you know? Sometimes that's hard to do, but it's important. But if you don't hear anything else today in this message, hear this. There's some things in your life that maybe you need to fan. God's deposited some things in you. You need to fan them into flame. Don't waste them. Don't waste them. Don't waste them. Regardless of how God is speaking to your heart today, if he's speaking to your heart, please stand. Just right where you are. You say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. Just stand right where you are. In a moment, I'm just going to invite you to come. Just stand. God's saying something to me. I know he's speaking to hearts today. Maybe the Lord just whispered something to you specifically. Just stand right where you are.